Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Including clergy and patriarchs and matriarchs all the way to the top. Men and women, including those who are successful with many creature comforts, everything they could desire, they fall into this recognition that despite material, psychological comfort, social comforts, something's missing in their lives. This spiritual emptiness can lead to the worship of false gods, which can take any number of forms. We can spend all day here naming what those might be. And Nicodemus, he hesitantly begins by giving the master a compliment. We know this, which most of his colleagues really would not have agreed with. And hesitant, but expectant, Jesus gets it right to the point. And he senses that what's really on this conversation partner's mind and shows him the way out of prison, the way right into his own freedom and into that law of freedom. He calls this way new birth, or birth from above, as it can also be translated. And he doesn't take this new birth in the literal sense as a reincarnation, returning to the mother's womb, but as the work of the Spirit, which leads to a total transformation. Now, Nicodemus, being a rational man who lives by facts as known to be true, is taken aback by what Jesus is telling him, thinking it's literally impossible to be born again. Yet he continues to seek, to explore, and get clarification. And in his explanation, as recorded in John's Gospel, Jesus makes two important points that St. John wants not only Nicodemus to know, but also everyone else as well, which includes us. For in the midst of the story, the Gospel writer shifts from the singular you, as he's speaking to Nicodemus, to the plural of us. And the first important point is that being born again has to come from above. That is to say, God, which Jesus was emphasizing. And Jesus makes clear to Nicodemus that the only thing that gets you into the kingdom of God, to God's presence among us in the world, is to be transformed inwardly by water. That is to say, a baptism of repentance by the Spirit. Strict observance of the law does not get you there. Religious or secular accomplishments will not get you there. Rational thinking with our minds will not get us there. So the only thing that gets us there is the inner grace, the inner transformation of the heart by the Spirit. Baptism with water is the outward sign, the outer sign that the old Adam is dying, and the experience of the Spirit is confirmation and empowerment of the new liberated person, which will become Jesus Christ, and by him it will become us. Jesus compares the life of this new person with the blowing of the winds. The direction of the wind can only be determined roughly and for a short time, and then it's going to change. You don't know where it comes from and whither it goes. So long as we are under the rule of the law, we ourselves, as well as others, rather quickly don't know which way the blowing wind is blowing with us. It can change on a dime. And the Spirit is not under human control. We can experience the Spirit, but we can't explain it other than to realize that it comes from above, from God. And this gospel emphasizes that this is the reason that we can trust Jesus Christ. We live in our world very much like machines. We follow compulsions, we follow programs, and we've been chained to them, and we have often had ourselves chained as well. Yet those who are filled with the Spirit, on the contrary, are ready for surprises. They're capable of things that were not sung to them or told to them when they were in the cradle. They're open to the true divine potential that is still yet to unfold. We can never explain the mystery of God, for God is always beyond our ability to define him or to comprehend him. However, this is the great gift. We can experience God's Spirit, this mysterious presence in our lives, and we can know God as Jesus has made him known to us. We can trust that where God is and where God's ways are manifested, there is a kingdom of God, even right here, inside the very present moments of our lives. Those who are filled with the Spirit also remain children of the forces that have shaped them. The new and the old person stand together in a continuum, in a tension. This is a lifelong process that has moments of stagnation, falling backwards, and moments of moving forwards. Luther said that a person is always both a sinner and just a person. But the old laws no longer rule our identity. Our true self is free. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So what the story of Nicodemus can teach us here today, my friends, is that we cannot initiate our own inner transformation, but we can respond to God's initiative living in us and helping us to do so. From the beginning of the church, Christians have been called to live this faith together in such a way that we become more open to the presence of the Spirit of our risen Lord. We can think of the wind of God blowing where it will. We can imagine our church, this church, is a sailboat, kind of shaped that way, upside down, not aware of the destination, but confident of this voyage. We can learn the care of our boat, the passengers, the sails. We can repair and maintain where we need to, learning about seamanship, about the patterns of weather and the movements of the sea. We can foster encouragement of the crew to work together, to be committed to one another, and to the goal of being ready to hoist the sails as we feel the presence of the wind and the Spirit. And so, Lord, may it be so. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.